Baruch Hashem Adonai. Bless the name of the Lord and welcome to the Shofar Ministries program. This is Dan with my effervescent soulmate, Reverend Sheila Crawford.
Thank you, honey, and shalom to all of you. Tonight we will continue on the topic of the unseen realm. But first, let us give thanks to our Lord.
Lord God Almighty, we give you much thanks, especially for our salvation that we will cling to tightly, knowing that no one can take us out of your precious right hand. You are King of the universe and God above all gods, and we worship you alone. We prayerfully ask for wisdom, understanding, and your blessing on tonight's program, and that you will consider these recent prayer requests, especially for the salvation of our loved ones. We ask this in Yeshua's name. Amen.
And amen.
Okay, well, we have some disturbing news.
We do. After a call with Prime Minister Netanyahu yesterday, Trump announced that Israel had agreed that there will be no troops going to Beirut, and any troops that are on the way have already been turned back.
But that's where Hezbollah's headquarters are located.
Right. They should have moved faster before Trump could say no.
Trump is really the head over Israel.
Oh, yeah. And he also really proved that a few weeks ago, you know, when he said that Israel will do whatever I tell them.
Yeah, I did hear him say that.
Mm-hmm. According to reports, which came from an intentional White House leak, from those who want a peace deal without any more attacks, said Trump was especially angry, shouting, "What the F are you doing? Are you effing crazy? You'd be in prison if not for me, and you are hated. Israel is hated." Wow. So that effectively blocked the operational plan in Beirut.
Hezbollah survives again.
That outburst caused Israel serious damage. And even more serious was the deliberate leak along with the media outlets around the world, most of them biased against Israel anyway. Therefore, they were delighted to quote Trump's harsh expressions.
Yeah, Trump told Bibi that Hezbollah agreed that all shooting will stop.
But still this morning, they were still shooting rockets into Galilee. Netanyahu spoke back to Trump, saying, "If Hezbollah doesn't stop attacking our towns and citizens, Israel will attack terror targets in Beirut, while continuing to operate as planned in southern Lebanon."
So, why did Trump do this?
Well, we all know why. The IRGC said, no more talking until the ceasefire framework is expanded to encompass all of Lebanon.
Well, of course, that means Hezbollah.
Exactly. So it continues that Israel's hands are offensively tied. Bibi may not have correctly assessed the strength of the Vance's anti-war group's influence over Trump.
Yeah, this is a difficult scenario for Israel.
For sure. As we listen to Trump's bragging and taking credit for stopping an Israeli military escalation. As Trump says, talks are progressing very nicely with Iran, while Iran says no talks are happening at this time. And don't forget about China and Russia, who ignore the sanctions and keep feeding the IRGC's existence so to remain, as they need Iran. Bottom line, it appears at this time Trump is very willing to negotiate with the worst of terrorists, something at one time America said we would never do.
Well, times are changing.
Then again, prophecy must be fulfilled.
You know, and God is ultimately in charge.
Oh, he surely is, which brings us spiritual peace that passes all understanding,
resulting in much joy of the Lord.
Amen.
Okay, you can send your comments or your end-time questions to Sheila, shofarministries.net, or call the office. But be sure to leave your phone number with a detailed message to 9006, and we'll give you a call back. Or by regular mail to Post Office Box 513, Burton, Ohio, 44021. And yes, your love offerings are greatly appreciated and needed. You can also give on ShofarMinistries.net, where you will find our archived newsletters and past radio programs.
All right, if you missed last week's program, we urge you to go to ShofarMinistries.net and listen, because we covered quite a bit, as in why we need to dig deeper into His Word and how they will explain where so many people go when we disappear, with scriptures confirming from the Old Testament that indeed we will just vanish.
Psalms 12 and Psalms 57.
And we also talked about hybridization in Noah's day compared to our day. Also Genesis 6 verse 4, who are the sons of God and why God called the angels that?
And now the angels can look like humans,
as seen in Genesis 18, Genesis 19, Judges 2 and Judges 6, Joshua 5, and also we have Paul's statement in Hebrews 13 that we could be entertaining angels unaware. So the women in Genesis 6 maybe were not all that afraid, as perhaps they were handsome. And I should add that the Book of Jubilees from the Dead Sea Scrolls say that the women were seduced first by dreams. Anyhow, we can all wonder about that. But I gotta say, those babies grew real big and tall, producing giants
called the Nephilim.
And we also defined the difference between demons and fallen angels
and the earth before Adam.
Yes. But only a little, and we'll go there again. In fact, the good news is we will be addressing all of these things again from time to time, because they are all different scenarios, but in the same movie, having different roles within many different scenes, which all helps in today's last generation to connect the dots, which leads to the final scene of the human race written by John as directed by Jesus,
known as the Revelation.
And many pieces to this end time puzzle.
Very true.
Okay, let's begin tonight with a common sense question. Since we know God is eternal, thereby being around forever, isn't it likely that things were happening in the cosmos and where God's throne is probably way before Adam? Because since Adam is only, it's only been about 6,000 years, and we do have dinosaur fossils dating way before that.
Well, when you put it that way, it does feel probable.
Also, many good scholars say there was a huge gap of time between Genesis 1 verse 1 and verse 2.
Called the gap theory.
Yes. Between when the earth was first created in verse 1 and then prior to verse 2. God gave the earth a complete makeover and then started over again. By verse 26, on the sixth day, He then formed Adam from the dust of the earth to fill the earth. But the word many Bibles use for fill is number 4390, male in Hebrew, which also means to replenish the earth.
In fact, the King James uses the word replenish.
It actually does, which now makes more sense when you see another Hebrew word that is lost in English, and that begins in verse 2 that says the earth was without form and void. The word was in Hebrew is hayah, number 1961, and really means to become or became. And the lexicon confirms this better than the Strong's. So it should say,
the earth became without form and void.
In Hebrew, that says, tohu va bohu. Remember those words.
Tohu va bohu.
Right, because God, to confirm all this, even gave Jeremiah a vision in Jeremiah chapter 4 of this exact time when the earth was completely desolate. And he uses the same words as in Genesis 2. Jeremiah wrote in chapter 4, verse 23,
I beheld the earth, and indeed it was without form and void.
That is tohu va-bohu in Hebrew. Continue with what Jeremiah wrote about what he saw.
And the heavens, they had no light. I beheld the mountains, and indeed they trembled. And all the hills moved back and forth. I beheld, and indeed there was no man.
Think on that. There was no man.
And all the birds of the heavens had fled. I beheld, and indeed the fruitful land was a wilderness. And all its cities were broken down at the presence of the Lord by his fierce anger.
So, we agree with those who believe there was a prior earth where Lucifer and his angels, also called the sons of God, dwelled specifically in Eden with access to the heavens.
Ezekiel 28:13.
Until unrighteous pride was found in him.
Isaiah 14.
So along with a third of the angels who followed him. So as a result, God made the earth, tohu va bohu,
without form and void.
These fallen angels mostly reside still in the heavenlies, Ephesians 6.
Then God made Adam and Eve, telling them to replenish the earth.
But they rebelled by not obeying God and eating from the tree of knowledge of good and of evil.
So now they would know death.
Adam died at age 930. Then 126 years after that, Noah was born, and according to the writings of Enoch, 200 of the fallen angels came to earth, landing on Mount Hermon, the tallest mountain in Israel, and then mated their seed, which Genesis 3 told us they have, with the women after they seduced them and were likely very handsome.
They produced the giants called the Nephilim of Genesis 6.
Who were very evil, whose goal, after Enoch told them they could never be redeemed, was to defile the population so the seed that was promised to Adam could not be born. I think that's a familiar theme.
But God brought the flood.
And chained the angels that mated with women into Tartarus, Jude 6, until the judgment of the tribulation, when they, along with millions of stinging locusts, will be let out to torture the people.
Revelation 9.
So that's a short summary. But before we delve into Psalm 82, let's do a little backdrop to help you understand what Psalm 82 is telling us. God first created heavenly beings, what we term as angels, with Lucifer being the star prize. And there are different classes of angels with different functions. And at least one set of these heavenly beings also are called Elohim, or gods with a little g. Of course, Yahweh, as noted in Deuteronomy 10 and other places, says that only he was, of course, the supreme being over them all.
And since God created them, he called them the sons of God.
As we read in Genesis 6. Now, after Noah's flood, the still loyal angels, or sons of God, B'nai Elohim, would counsel together with God.
Psalm 82 calls them the divine council,
allowing them to have ideas and make suggestions.
As when God divided the nations in Genesis 11.
Yes, after the Tower of Babel incident, God divided the land into 70 sections and appointed to each one of his divine council, except Israel, which God would watch over himself. And we read that God said in verse 7,
let us confuse their language and disperse them.
So who is us? He was talking with his divine council. And we know it's not the Trinity because in Hebrew, Moses uses the plural pronoun, where the Trinity is singular. So, because of Psalm 82 and other writings, we know he was talking to his heavenly holy ones. So they were divided into 70 nations on a divided continent, as we said. And that God placed the sons of God over those 70 nations to be their spiritual advisors and point them in the right direction to the one only true Elohim, one over each nation. Let's read Deuteronomy 32, verses 8 and 9 from the ESV, which is taken from the Masoretic text found with the Dead Sea Scrolls.
When the Most High gave to the nations their inheritance, when he divided mankind, he fixed the borders of the peoples according to the number of the sons of God. But the Lord's portion is his people. Jacob has allotted heritage.
By the way, most Bibles here mistranslate the sons of God as the children of Israel. That's why I'm pointing that out, because the ESV and the Septuagint, they have it correctly. And most Bibles, by the way, will have a footnote noting that error. Anyhow, they were building the Tower of Babel, but they weren't trying to reach God the Father. Rather, with the counsel of Nimrod, whose grandfather Ham's descendants, you remember, were cursed. Well, Nimrod did turn wicked. They were trying to get closer to the rebellious fallen angels, acting as false gods from Lucifer's era, still in the heavenlies.
As Paul reminds us in Ephesians 6.
As we said. Yes, and still there, and likely responsible for the UAPs showing up today, getting ready for their return to Earth to join the fallen ones from Tartarus, who will also be released.
Revelation 9.
But these 70 didn't act according to God's will, so he had to punish them, as we will read in Psalm 82.
And, by the way, make your own conclusions.
Oh, yes. It is highly recommended in Acts 17:11.
Be a Berean.
That's right. Okay, Psalm 82, verse 1.
God has taken his place in the divine council. In the midst of the gods, he holds judgment.
Obviously, these divine counselors are not human beings. They are divine heavenly hosts. In the original Hebrew, which we see, the word Elohim is used twice in just this first verse. So let's look at that. Continue.
Elohim has taken his place in the divine council. In the midst of the Elohim, he holds judgment.
So God is meeting with these little g gods, or Elohim in the Hebrew, and we read that he's not happy with them, as we'll see in verse 2. He says to them,
how long will you judge unjustly and show partiality to the wicked?
So we understand that these divine beings are called Elohim, as bestowed unto them by God himself, who created them. Now, however, they must be judged to eventually die as men, where before they were immortal beings.
You know, that's a very big punishment.
You think? And we know from other historical writings, these rebellious beings were actually allowing the people to worship them. A rather big no-no. Mm-hmm. Continuing in verse 3, God explains what they were supposed to do.
Give justice to the weak and the fatherless. Maintain the right of the afflicted and the destitute. Rescue the weak and the needy. Deliver them from the hand of the wicked.
Obviously, there were wicked on the earth in those days too. Anyhow, these particular 70 Elohim were supposed to help the people who had little knowledge to see the truth and point them to Yahweh, which is what we read in verse 5.
They have neither knowledge nor understanding. They walk about in darkness. All the foundations of the earth are shaking. I said, you are gods, sons of the Most High, all of you.
In other words, you had the power to do them right, and you chose not to. See, they even had a choice, just like we have a choice. So, here comes the punishment, verse 7.
Nevertheless, like men, you shall die and fall like any prince.
Let me remind you that any time a Hebrew word ends in I-M, as in Elohim, it's plural, so means more than one. Abba Father is three persons in one supreme being, so plural. The other Elohim, who obviously had free will, are of the lesser gods that Yahweh appointed to share responsibilities so they would feel useful.
As he does with us.
Yes, we want to be used by God. And so they were, for a while. Yahweh created all the heavenly beings. Therefore, in the Old Testament, we call the Tanakh. If referred to as the Son of God, you resided in heaven.
So, the word Elohim is more a description of residence.
Yes. And in the New Testament, the church is also called sons of God because we are his new reborn creation and destined to be in his heavenly residence.
2 Corinthians 5:17.
As well, we have the kingdom inside of us right now as we have the breath of God. He breathed in us. We were made in his image because we have the breath of God and expects us to portray his image on earth. No humans in the Old Testament except for Adam were called the sons of God. Again, only his first creations as in Adam and those residing in heaven. So can you begin to see why the sons of God in Genesis 6 refers to these heavenly beings? Not yet, you say? Well, let's look at Job, and we'll close on this. This scripture seals it, as God tells him that the sons of God shouted for joy when God made man.
Where were you, God speaking to Job, when I laid the foundations of the earth? Tell me, if you have understanding, who determined its measurements? Surely you know. Or who stretched the line upon it? On what were its bases sunk? Or who laid its cornerstone when the morning stars sang together and all the sons of God shouted for joy?
There you have it. Obviously, the sons of God saw the recreation of earth before man was ever around. Therefore, crushing the Sethite theory, it's unbelievable that there are still some who still say that the sons of God were descendants of Seth.
Nope, he was nowhere around.
And we will continue on this great deep topic next week. But let me begin by making sure, is Yeshua really Lord over your life? If not, recommit your life. You can start over. He loves repentance. And if you've never made Jesus Lord over your life, for goodness sakes, don't wait. Be smart. Do it now. I want to leave you with the Aaronic blessing from number 6. The Lord will bless you and keep you. The Lord will make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord will lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Till next time, Sha'alu Shalom, Jerusalem. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. Those who love her will prosper in many ways. Psalm 122, verse 6. Shalom till next time.
thanks for listening to this week's broadcast from Shofar Ministries, hosted by Sheila Crawford on AM 1220, The Word. If you would like to help keep this show on the air, please visit the Shofar Ministries website, shofarministries.net. That's all one word, shofarministries.net. Once you're there, click the donate button on the left side of the page, and it will take you to the PayPal secure payment site. If you don't use the internet, you can send your check or money order donation to the following address, Box 513, Burton, Ohio, 44021. That's Box 513, Burton, Ohio, 44021. For any questions or comments about this program, please send an email to Sheila at the following address, Sheila@ShofarMinistries.net. That's Sheila@ShofarMinistries.net. Please join us next Tuesday night at 8 for Shofar Ministries right here on AM 1220, The Word. The preceding program was brought to you by Shofar Ministries.